Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, don't forget Pepe's Hot Red Box Super Bowl special.
Yes.
$34.95. You get all this stuff here for your Super Bowl. Call him today.
That's a thought, yeah.
And get it ordered for tomorrow. What do you think?
Bernie, I think that sounds like a good idea. I won't have to cook.
$34.95. Anyway, okay, now to the business at hand, madam. It will be interesting to know that we normally start hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment. And normally it's produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Today it's normal.
She's talking.
You're here. You're talking about the first night airplane flight across the country.
Lighting the way for airmail to El Paso. In the late 1920s, the U.S. government wanted to improve airmail service by getting the mail from coast to coast faster than before, which now meant airmail pilots would have to fly at night. But navigation for the early aviator was antiquated and difficult. Pilots would usually follow the railroad tracks along with a map as their main source of navigation. This form of navigation was impossible and deadly when flying at night. Nearly 1 in 10 early airmail pilots died during the early days of the Postal Service's new airmail initiative, and emergency landings were common. There just had to be a safer way. So the U.S. Department of Commerce designed a new system of lighted towers, inland lighthouses, you might say, with gigantic concrete arrows at their bases pointing the way, which allowed air pilots to navigate without depending solely on railroad tracks and landmarks to find their way. By 1930, Elsie Elliott, Airways Extension Supervisor for the Department of Commerce, proposed a plan to complete the southwestern section from Dallas to El Paso and on to San Diego. While in El Paso meeting with city leaders and reporters, Elliott and his pilot C.I. Burnett said the plan was to complete the link to El Paso in about 2 months, with lighthouses every 10 miles at a cost of $400 a mile. Soon, airmail and commercial flights were going to be able to travel into the evening hours along the Great Highway of Light. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I went online, and there was Bernie standing there.
Just standing around.
He's wearing a top hat now.
Yeah, he's sitting here today.
Yes, you bet.
Yes.
Wearing a hat, but not top.
Yes.
But that's on the top. It was one of those, what do they call, stovepipe?
Yeah, stovepipes, yes.
Well, that was for your adventure in megaphonism.
Yes, that was my, the lumberman O.T. Bassett hat.
But if you're looking at the what's going on Facebook, we've got over 5,000 people looking at the promo for today's show.
That's great.
A lot of folks out there.
Yeah.
They just don't want to play trivia. I can understand that. But life goes on. And so this was a whole report that you did. This is the Alliance crowd, Melissa.
That's right.
Out there on Facebook.
History Alliance. Sorry, I was checking our Facebook page.
Okay.
I got distracted.
Well, pick it up right there.
Well, the History Alliance group is a great group we need to be in touch with. They're out there doing some great things. Bernie's part of that. You've got Max
Grossman.
Goldman. Where did I get Goldman? Grossman. I had friends, Max Goldman. Grossman, he's doing some wonderful things out there all the time. And then you've got people like Barbara Given Bainey, who is the head mucky muck over there at Remember in El Paso Win Facebook page, who has wonderful pictures, historical stories, newspaper articles, everything on that page. They've got to be over 30,000 people now.
Well, Facebook has been messing with their numbers. So whatever number it is, it's thousands.
Well, they kind of roll you over after a while.
The Alliance is at 50,000.
50,000. Well, the bottom line, if you want to get involved in some history of El Paso, go look at the pictures in those archives.
Yeah.
They will blow you away. Actually, I thought it was going to be cool a couple of years ago and just go look at everything.
Yes.
I never got to it.
Yeah,
I tried for days.
Oh, you can get stuck there for hours
look
and
at
hours.
This one. All this stuff's showing up.
And it's things that other people have posted that aren't necessarily involved with Remember When, but it's pictures they've got in their family archives that they post. It's wonderful.
It's good stuff.
And, you know, a lot of these pictures, what I've been doing as these things have been released is copying and pasting them and then using them in as background for my presentations.
Line one.
And giving everybody credit for where it came from. And I've got about 600 pictures now that whenever I'm doing a talk, those things just show in the background.
Oh, that's good stuff what
that's
you got. And
this is
stuff that Barbara does out of the love of history.
Hey, by the way.
And just give her credit when you use her pictures. That's the main thing. Also, there's one more administrator that she would like us to talk about this week, Ken Weiss. They've got about a half a dozen folks in there, and if you'd like to get involved, go on that page and talk to Barbara. She could use some help, and they're also particular about their help.
Yes.
Even those volunteers. So,
well, it gets kind of crazy sometimes.
Well, you need that because this is a very precise web page. So what do you
got? I was going to say that one of the groups I'm involved with, I'm on the Museum Foundation, El Paso History Museum Foundation. We had a presentation from the general manager and sales manager for the Hilton Plaza. Talking about the grand opening. They're targeting October 5th. And so we're going to be looking for any and all pictures we can get of the Hilton Hotel.
You mean this year?
This year.
They're going to open up the Hilton downtown?
That's
their target
plans.
Date.
Wait a minute now. Which one is this?
This is the tall one next across the street from the Mills Anson 11.
The Plaza Hotel.
The Plaza
the
Hotel.
Plaza.
How can they do it that fast?
Oh, they're working their butts off.
Oh, well, that's what that residue did in the street.
Yeah, they had a huge crane out there the other day. They're moving in.
Really?
They're moving the old elevators out and putting new elevators in.
Are they going to beat the other hotel across the street?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
That's a Foster project.
Yeah,
so he moves smoothly.
Yeah, somebody posted this morning on Remember in El Paso When that they've targeted June for opening the Camino Real or the Paso del Norte.
Uh-huh.
Ah, that's awful ambitious.
What year?
Yeah, really. Good point.
20-aught.
Well, you know, we're going to do a fundraiser at the plaza because it'll probably open before we being the Museum of History Foundation.
Aha, that we.
And we're going to do one there as a fundraiser. But these folks came in and gave us a presentation on what they're doing and how it's going and so on. I hope that the Del Norte opens up, but it's a pretty optimistic approach because it's got a lot of work to do. We had a tour of it a couple months ago. And there was a ton of things to be done, and then they changed general contractors, so now they're revamping, restarting.
They're restoring history left and right.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
We stirred up somebody on a phone named Raul. Mr. Raul, you're on the radio now. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. How are you guys doing?
Great. Good. What's up?
Yeah, I had a question, but I want to set it up before I ask the question. Just a couple of weeks ago, I went to Chihuahua and Parral, and I was very impressed by the big house that Pancho Villa got. After his all his hell raising, we also went to Parral and saw where they shot him, the tree there. But I understand. I've heard that the reason that he, as you guys know, he got killed by supposedly his own men, some of his own men.
Yeah.
And I heard, and I don't know if it's true, but I could see where some of them might think this with that giant, beautiful house that he got. I heard that he was considered a vendido.
I think both sides. There was two sides of Pancho Villa, either good or bad.
Yeah.
And the federales and the supporters of the federal government thought he was a bandito. And he wasn't very nice to a lot of people. But the people that he got along with just worshipped him.
Yeah.
They thought he was wonderful.
You can put a bunch of people in a room that over the period, and it doesn't matter. You'll find people that love him and hate him. It's always interesting to
They'll
have a conversation.
Fighting.
Yeah, my grandfather hated him, and my grandmother loved him.
Well, what's your thought about that, Raul?
The running joke in part.
In my family, the legend is that he murdered my great-great aunt, who was a haciendera in Jimenez. And that he had written a letter to them and telling them that he was on his way and that if they had money ready, everything would be just fine. And then supposedly the relatives are told my great-great-aunt, hey, go to Juarez, just get out of town. And she said, I'm not going anywhere. She owned a little store there in the little town, and he showed up supposedly, and she didn't have the money, and if maybe she did, she wasn't going to give it to him. He tied her up on the table and put put a bunch of wood underneath and lit it up and burned her to death.
Ooh.
Oh, my.
Bummer.
And that's how my great-grandmother ended up in Juarez, and eventually my mother came to, she was born in El Paso.
Yeah, there's a lot of tough stories with Pancho Villa back there. Bernie, you were going to mention something.
Yeah, I was going to mention that this friend of mine that I was talking about that had the picture of Pancho, the first picture taken of him and his bodyguard in the sedan, was telling me that after he was killed and the word got out, every child in Parral cried because their daddy was killed.
Oh, rim shot.
That was a running joke in Parral. So.
Rim shot.
Yeah, he had. In fact, this gentleman said that he had lost a lot of family members to Pancho Villa, so there was not a lot of love there.
So thanks for sharing your story, Raul.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Any other thoughts? Listening. Is that it for you today? Okay.
Well, I got one more little story.
Go for it.
My dad was born in El Paso, Texas, because Pancho Villa shows up in Juarez, as you guys know, for the Batalla de Juarez.
Yeah.
And so his mother decides to just cross the border to get out of the crossfire, has my dad over here, and as soon as Pancho Villa left, she went back to Juarez, and my dad was born and raised, well, not born, raised and educated, and was working in Juarez when World War II rolls around, and he gets his draft notice in Juarez. He was working at a bank there. And his younger brother, who was very well known in Juarez, his name was Carlos Amaya. He started a thing called El Banco de Leche. In fact, he used to own a radio station and had a radio program that talked history.
Cool.
And he told my father, "You're an accidental American. And why do you want to go fight the gringos' wars? They stole half our country." My dad decided to serve anyway.
I got it for him.
Oh, that's a great story. Thank you for calling
up. Is your dad still with us?
No, he passed away back in 1989, but he loved this country, he loved the United States, and nonetheless worked his entire married life in Juarez at a place called Casa Oppenheim that was a very well-known curio store in Avenida Juarez for many years.
Yeah.
Raul, thank you for the call. You've just given us we're going to take off now. We're going to a great lead into what we're going to talk about, and that is another Mexican citizen this was in World War I,
mm-hmm.
and the gentleman came over and volunteered to get in the U.S. Army, and he did. Bernie, what is the story?
Well, the story behind that is, you know, there was a time in the North American continent where they were searching for gold, silver, precious metals. In fact, the Spaniards really launched this whole thing. And came over and settled North America and South America. Well, they continued on, and there was gold found in California. There was gold found in Alaska. There was silver and gold found in Mexico. Well, there were some mines in a little community southwest of Chihuahua City, 235 miles southwest of Chihuahua City, and it's called Hacienda Pastrana. And a gentleman from the United States, who was also a business partner of William Fargo of Wells Fargo fame,
mm-hmm.
He went down there and he bought this mine, and he upgraded everything so it would be more productive, and hired a lot of the locals to work there at the mine. And they changed the name of it to Hacienda Robinson. And the Cerna family that lived down there, and I'll talk about that family in a couple minutes, they worked in the mines, and it just kept going and going. Now, unfortunately, with the French control and then Porfirio Diaz revolt, it really took its toll on the mining industry because they were controlling the flow, the cost, the value of everything. And so Robinson's sons and his grandchildren died of typhoid. He decided he had enough of Mexico and sold the land to a gentleman by the name of Alexander Shepard. Alexander Shepard was the mayor, or they called him governor at the time, of Washington, D.C. And he had this incredible practice of trying to make things better. When Shepard took over as governor/mayor of D.C., there was a big push to move the capital of the United States to St. Louis, Missouri, because Washington, D.C. was, for lack of other terms, a real hellhole. It was horrible. I mean, there was stuff on the streets that you don't want to talk about.
You mean lack of air conditioning?
Lack of everything, yeah. And if you had air conditioning, you didn't want the air to come in from outside. So Shepard just took it upon himself to start spending money helter-skelter to upgrade everything, because he felt that Washington, D.C. should remain the capital. Well, things politics got very heavy, and the other party chased him out of Washington, D.C. He ended up buying the Hacienda Robinson from the Robinson family and did more upgrades down there in the community and more employment, did things better for
the former mayor of Washington, D.C. goes to Mexico and buys a place?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
And okay, that's weird.
It is. And was very successful, but then the revolution took place. Now, in the meantime, the Cerna family...
Oh, surprise, gringo, look out.
I know, one of many revolutions, but the Cerna family worked there, as I mentioned. And when the young Marcelino was coming of age to go to work in the mines. That was about the time the revolution broke out. And he thought, now, okay, he's being pushed to be part of the revolutionaries or part of the federales. He didn't want to be part of either one of them. He thought the United States looked like a good bet. So he came across the border and went to work for Atchison, Topeka, Santa Fe, working on one of the fields, you know, maintenance crews, and did that for a short time, and then ended up going up to Colorado and worked in the beets fields up there. World War One broke out, and the military were looking for anybody and everybody who might have been skating out on their enlistment commitment. And he got caught up in it. He was taken into Denver.
Well, he didn't skate out. He just got caught up in the process.
He was just picked up like everybody else, taken in. They got him into Denver, and they realized that not only was he not an American, but he couldn't speak a word of English. Uh-huh. And but
you'll do.
Yeah, but he said, I will go. I'll do it, you know, because okay. he wanted to stay here. So they sent him to Kansas, to the military base there, which is now Fort Riley, for basic training. And again, doesn't speak English. He's not a citizen. Opportunity to, you know, they were actually going to send him back to the border. And he said, no, I want to stay. He ended up going to New York, where they trained him for a couple of weeks.
Learn some English, dude.
Yeah, well, he was learning it by osmosis, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And then he went down into New Jersey, where they finished the training. They put him on a boat and sent him over to France. And they trained him some more. Well, actually, over to England.
So this kid was 17 when he started this.
Yeah, yeah. He was 17.
Oh, my.
So he goes to England. They do some more training, send him over to France on, you know, one of these little boats. Now, here's this young kid who comes up from Mexico, has no idea what's going on, and he's caught up in World War One. Just an amazing, amazing story. So he gets over to France, and he was part of the first group of Americans that were actually transported by trucks to the front lines. And he gets gassed along with everybody else. They suffer the gas attacks by the Germans. And he ends up fighting in a number of key battles with the infantry division that he was in. And one of his best friends that he had become acquainted with was killed by the Germans. And all the Americans were all upset about this. So they wanted to kill every German they could find. Well, he goes off with pockets full of grenades and his rifle, and he starts looking for the machine gun nests, and he finds them. And he manages to kill something like 25 or 27 Germans.
Jeez.
And takes a bunch more prisoner, brings them back. The Americans want to kill the Germans. He said, no, we can't do that. That's not our style. He convinces them to keep them as prisoners. Well, a couple of days later, he gets involved with another one of these little deals where he kills and captures more Germans. Well, 4 days before the war is over, he's wounded in both legs. He ends up in the hospital where they give him awards. He gets the King of Italy gives him an award. France gives him an award. England gives him an award. He gets all these medals. He comes back to the United States after Armistice Day, which and gets to El Paso. Well, there were some medals that were still not given to him, so they send a team looking for him in El Paso. They couldn't find him.
He's in Juarez?
No, he was in El Paso.
Okay.
But, you know, it was just like nondescript.
He
came back to work.
But also, give it the punchline. We got to go to a break here, but the punchline is they named the bridge after the
they
guy.
Named, yeah, 2 years ago they named the Tornillo Crossing after him, Marcelino Serna. Point of entry.
That's who this guy is.
And a school also.
And there's a school named after him. I found out about it when I went down for the unveiling of the marker and the naming of it.
Yeah.
I had no idea who he was.
And he was a Mexican to begin with.
Yeah. And, you know, they were saying that now they've tried over the years, I think the first attempt was in the 60s, to get him the Medal of Honor. That's the only thing he hasn't received yet.
Oh, I see.
And
well, maybe still. You never know.
Well, we're going to try to help on that wherever we can.
We got to take a break here, though.
We have to take a break.
And we're going to stop Bernie right there in the middle, put him on hold, and come back. We'll talk more about this because I think that bridge business is amazing. Okay.
Okay.
Trivia.
Trivia.
What do you got?
Okay. Well, we have two trivia questions here, which hopefully somebody will be listening
and answer
these.
The phone is already ringing right now.
Well, they better have an answer to these. Okay. The first question is, what mining camp was Marcelino Serna born in Chihuahua, Mexico?
Oh, you said that.
Yes,
okay.
We did. And where did Serna first work as a maintenance assistant? A maintenance assistant when he arrived in El Paso.
Right here on your,
I know. It doesn't say I can read. The brain and the mouth are a terrible thing to try to put together.
When he arrived in El Paso.
Okay.
And the answer is number A.
Yes, number A. That's the answer. Hey. Okay, so where did Serna first work when he came to El Paso? Or what did he do? Who did he work for when he got to El Paso?
This is really bothering you, isn't it?
I don't. I think it's still left over from the surgery. That's right.
You got your foot
up. It took my brains, not my foot.
Well, you got your foot up in the air, and you're only walking on one foot.
Well, that's where my brains are.
How's that working?
Yeah,
all right. So anyway, was that a bunch of questions you just asked?
Yes, it was. Okay, what was the mining camp where Marcelino was born, and where did Serna first work when he got to El Paso?
Nobody answered the first question from the first hour.
Well, I don't care.
Either one of those.
Never mind.
That was the easy one. I mean, okay, it was a 50-50. Come
they're
on.
They're not going to give them any stuff.
That's right.
They can get stuff.
They'll get $20 in food coupons or an El Paso Gold DVD. Get it.
And how do they do that?
By calling 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Warning. If you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-700-2844. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-700-2844. That's 1-800-700-2844. 1-800-700-2844.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word FEAR to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text FEAR to 797979. Text FEAR to 797979.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We have had 6,525 people, different people, connecting on Facebook looking at Bernie standing there in his top hat.
Yay.
And your buddy Marcelino down there below that. And that's an interesting history right there. Yeah. So that's 6,525. That's a lot of people.
That's a few people. Yes.
Let you know who's coming in here next week, by the way. A new book called The Women of Smeltertown. It's by Mimi Gladstein, Marcia Hatfield, Dada Still, and photos by Carol Eastman. So we're going to hear about that next week. The following week, we have, did you ever go to Andrus High School? Anybody went to Andrus High School?
I've been there, but I didn't go there.
The first 39 years, including day one for 39 years, Ruth Gillette taught there.
Ah.
So if you went to Andrus in any of those times and days, you probably knew her. And she's going to come in and talk and tell us stories about Andrus High School. And how many of the Gillettes throughout our Western history can she talk about? There's a whole bunch of Texas Rangers, lawyers, master farmers, so she'll be in here on February 16th. What do you got?
Well, I've got a fact that it was great. There was a press release we just got that we have Alaskan Airlines is now flying in and out of El Paso, and in their magazine that you get on the airplane, they have a great spread on El Paso, and it's called Near and Far. So if you get a chance to pick us up or look at it online, It's a really great spread. It covers Waco tanks, the missions. It's a very nice article on El Paso. So we're getting our name out there. Yeah.
Well, it should be. I mean, I think the people that run whatever official promotion goes on in this town, the county, the city, I guess they think they're official.
Well, the article, it's Historical El Paso, and it was written by Andy Martinez, Exploring the West El Paso Cultural Center.
That's what we should do. That's what we should be known for.
I like that.
And, you know, a lot of history gone on here. People should know about that. Yeah, and that's kind of what we do here.
I didn't even notice that at first.
Well,
I like that.
By the way, I'm not sure what Shelley, come in here and tell me whatever you did. Shelley just put something up on the board. What was it that you said?
I'm pretty sure Destination El Paso is responsible for
it. Ah, she thinks Destination El Paso did those. That's whoever did it. Whether it's private, like we do, and Destination is private,
I'm
or
sure
it's official,
they put the ad in there, yeah.
We should all kind of coordinate and talk about the history of this place. People will come see it. All right, where are we now? We got Sergio, you want one more break before we go too far, right? You are that kind of guy. Bernie, we're going to keep talking about all kinds of stuff, but Marcelino Serna did get the bridge. That was the whole point.
Yes, yes, he did.
And that's how come his name is now coming up more and more. And what is that bridge?
It's in Tornillo. It's about 45 minutes southeast of here.
Isn't that the new one?
It's
that
the
was
newest
the
bridge,
one?
Yeah.
It was an old one that they redid into a new one.
I love the old bridge.
The old bridge was really cool. Yeah, it's just like a little dirt road
going across
the
road. That was an experience, yes.
Well, that's how we used to be here on the border.
Oh, yeah. Remember those days? In the Napa, you could just drive right over the
railroad tracks. I remember in the 70s, there were trucks coming straight across, and they'd take a bump on the railroad tracks. Otherwise, they'd get right over the border and end up in Artavinos.
Sometimes a cement truck trying to go across a river. They tried to steal one time.
Oh my!
That was a very, very entertaining. Yeah, it was a great experience. That was just a couple months after my leaving the commission, and I got an invitation to go down there for that. And I thought, this is just really great. And I heard the story. I went, wow, this guy needs, you know, the family needs to have that. Well, evidently they've been working on it. We have some friends in Washington that might be able to help, so that's the reason why I've gotten
involved. You mean another award of some kind, perhaps?
The Medal of Honor.
Medal
of Honor.
Well, good luck with that. All right, we're going to take one more break, come back, and we'll what's going on in El Paso, Inc.? We'll find that out in a moment. Shelley, there's a line one ring in there. I can see all these phone calls coming in here. I just don't know what to do about them because I can't answer.
They want to talk.
Shall we take a break? Call us up on that number.
Call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-555-2085. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-555-2085. That's 800-555-2085. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-555-2085.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776. Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution Sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive.
Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, we got Henry on hold. We got him locked up over there, but we'll let him loose in a minute or two. Got to tell you what's going on right now, this week only in El Paso, Inc.
Why investors from Mexico have bought one of El Paso's tired historic buildings and how they plan to bring it back to life.
Also in the Inc., El Paso architects revealed dramatic plans to restore and add four floors to an historic downtown building. Add four floors? How are they going to do that?
Very carefully. Escape rooms, the latest on a thrilling new trend spreading across the city.
That's all in El Paso, Inc. It's El Paso's business journal, and it's available for home or business delivery and online.
To read El Paso, Inc. and to order your subscription, go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, take a look at parking for downtown El Paso. From new and old lots to the number of spaces on the street. What happens when all downtown venues are having events at once?
Join host Saul Sines on Sunday night right after ABC 7 at 10 on ABC 7 Extra.
That's a happening thing. We got trivia. Is this Henry? Henry, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're fine. And you, Henry?
I'm fine. Thank God.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yep.
Okay. Do you want to answer the trivia questions?
Yes.
Okay. Which one did you want? The first one or the second one? Or did you know both?
Either one. I'll pick one of them.
Okay, how about the first one? What mining camp was Marcelino Serna born in Chihuahua, Mexico?
Hacienda Juarez.
No,
that wasn't it. Try the other question.
It was a hacienda.
Okay,
let's go for the second one.
There's no other caller. Let's give him another shot at it.
Yeah, we'll give you the second one. Where did Serna first work as a maintenance assistant when he arrived in El Paso?
I didn't hear that question. Can you repeat it?
Where did Serna first work as a maintenance assistant when he arrived in El Paso?
Oh, well, no, I thought it was what the bridge was named over there in Tornillo, which was Serna, but and so I didn't get the right question. So
thank you
very much.
Well, thank you for trying.
I enjoy the program always.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for trying, dude.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Well, you never can tell. We just answer the phone.
Almost had it.
See what happens.
It was
there.
Half right.
Hey, well, yeah, it goes. All right, the thing about Serna, though, Serna was one of those people that just turned up into an historic moment.
He's a movie in himself.
Of course. I mean, how many movies have been made about him, Bernie?
Zero.
Okay, we need about five.
But Gilbert Roland tried to push the idea of having a movie made about him. They had gotten to know each other when, you know, Gilbert was from El Paso.
Yeah.
And they got to know each other. And he went to Hollywood and tried to sell the idea. You know, Sergeant York was very popular. So I thought, you know, we could do this one too, because here's a great story.
He was like the Hispanic Sergeant York.
Yeah, that's what I refer to him.
The Private Serna.
Well, maybe what we can do is get Dave Gutierrez, and he's the guy that's doing the book about Company E, and he's pushing that all over North America.
Well, hopefully, if he gets the movie done on his, this
maybe
could be another follow-up. Yeah,
come down the road and do another one like this. That'd be kind of interesting.
Well, I found the name of the ship that they went to Europe on a whole bit, so I got pictures of that.
I can see the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's just an incredible movie.
I mean, it could be done in such a wonderful way, too. I mean, it's got its lighthearted moments in the sense of everything in his life, how he got picked up and just kept going, no se habla inglés. And they're kind of like going, okay, kid, on over here.
Line one's ringing, Shelley.
Just amazing. Yeah, you know, they have the governor of Texas in 1919 come to El Paso to present him one of his medals.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, just a tremendous thing. French Marshal Ferdinand Foch gave him the French Legion of Award. I mean, he got everything except the Medal of Honor.
Well, we'll see how that turns out. Yeah. But this guy was a major piece of history without even being a major piece of history.
Well, he comes back to the United States and he gets a job. He ends up working at Fort Bliss. But what he did in 1922 is he was a Boy Scout leader at the Catholic Church downtown. He did that, and he didn't become a citizen until a couple of years later. So he was still working and still being part of the United States. Then he became a citizen.
Interesting stuff. Yeah,
that's the American dream. And if people say it doesn't exist, this is a good example.
Yeah, we stirred up some people on the phone, 544-5876. This one is Carlos. Good morning.
Good morning to all.
Hey,
good
Carlos.
Good morning, Carlos.
Spitter recovery, Melissa.
Thank you.
Yes, I don't know any other questions, but I got a little story on my two of my granddads. They fought against each other during the war.
Who did?
One fought with Pancho Villa and the other one with Carranza.
Ooh, that's a family feud.
Your two grandparents did that?
And it's still going on.
Oh, my.
It's still going on?
Yeah, and then so my dad told us that his dad told him that the one that fought with Pancho Villa, that one time a rich family invited Pancho Villa and part of his regiment to Chihuahua, this rich family. So they were eating outside, and my dad told us that his dad told him that Pancho Villa used to carry some kind of spoon, and that he would know that they were trying to poison him.
So
when he found out that they were trying to poison him, they had a baby on the cradle, and he just got the baby and stomped him against the tree.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Got into that party. Okay,
yeah,
so
my grandfather fought with Carranza. He was a scout. He was like 12 or 13, and he was the one with a bugle and... Yeah,
ooh.
So I'm really proud of my dad. I'm proud of my both granddad. So I don't know if I should be proud of him or not.
Well, you have a kind of history that many people in El Paso share. They had some family member had some dealing with Villa or one of those guys in the Mexican, and they're still talking about it today. And your family's still carrying on the feud, huh?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, good luck with that. Thanks.
When my grandfather went to, in the late 20s, early 30s, to L.A., the one that fought with Carranza, he would go down Main Street, and the producers, directors would go looking for, see who could ride horses. So I'm proud to say that my grandfather was in quite a few movies in the Western days at that time.
Well, that's cool. Well, thank you for sharing your story with us.
Question,
sure,
Jackson.
Sure.
What year did they build the Falco?
The first year?
Yeah.
1887.
Yeah.
Wow. And I just looked at my third base judge over here, Bernie, and he agrees. But that's what's on the plaque we were standing next to. Yeah, Greg.
Did Pancho Villa actually work there?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
He did. We actually saw
it. Did he work there?
Oh, that was after the Revolution. He worked there.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw his signature on a time card. And I also saw John Selman's signature, the one that killed John Wesley Harden.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird people worked over there. And they weren't always working there a long time. I think Villa was actually in security, which is kind of like, you got to be
security?
Kidding.
Yeah.
You're guarding the gold, really, Pancho?
Okay.
Hey, that's a good idea.
You're a smart man.
There's a guy I want to hire.
No, there's a lot of history over there.
Yeah.
There really is.
Yeah, also, didn't Pancho Villa used to buy his ammunition at the Popular?
No, he bought clothing.
He bought ammunition from folks that were related to the folks that owned the Popular, but he didn't buy them from the Popular.
Well, the cadets in Decadu building, they sold him guns, and also the guy that got mad at Pancho over in Columbus, New Mexico, he sold Pancho a bunch of bad
ammo. Ravel.
Sam Ravel.
Yeah.
So there was people.
Really?
Remember, you've heard these stories where Pancho would roll into town with a train, and he'd open up the train car full of gold, and he'd tell the merchant, take what you think is right for what I'm buying. Oh, can you imagine doing that?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That's how he operated. So, and it wasn't his goal to begin with, so what the heck, right? It was easy for Pancho.
Yes. Well, guys, nice talking to you, and I'm great show like always.
We'll
take
see you
care,
in the street.
Carlos. Carlos.
Thank you. Take her easy.
Thanks for calling.
It's always fun to talk to folks out there who appreciate
he's,
what we're
he's
doing.
He's got some pretty good history.
And I was wrong about Pancho. He worked before the Revolution.
Yeah, he had to be, because after the Revolution, they would have killed him.
Yeah.
They would have blown him away.
He wasn't allowed to be over here.
No.
No, but I mean, can you imagine Pancho Villa being a guard for the gold train?
Oh,
yeah, sure, everything's fine.
Little things, yeah.
Now, why is your pocket looking so heavy? Oh, nothing there.
I just put a few pounds on here.
Nothing to look at, nothing to see.
More tortillas, yeah.
Well, you know, it's a bizarre history in this valley. That's what amazes me, is that there's so much of it. And you could tell a million stories about Pancho Villa. And we do get the people calling up. My grandmother hated him. The other grandmother loved him. That's what this guy just said about his grandfather.
It's like the Civil War. How many family stories you hear about that with a brother or a father or whatever?
Sure.
They all one side or the other. It's just this kind of the same thing.
Cute story I heard, and I think I've told this before on the radio many years ago, was when I was over at we were doing a little show for a retirement home. And this is probably about 15, 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And these two little ladies came over and said, we want to talk to you. So they tell me stories. They once said, my daddy was telling me about when he was a little kid. He was downtown, and this really nice man with all these birds was feeding these pigeons. And he's just so nice, and he had this brown outfit on and kind of a pit helmet on. and he was just throwing food down for the birds. I just thought it was so neat. And I found out later that was Pancho Villa, and those were his pigeons that he was sending messages across the river with.
Oh.
He's a really nice man.
Yeah, that was his communications department.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a
some
bizarre.
Great stories, though.
There's a lot, so much history going on here. Well, the Cerna story that we brought up today, that's a fascinating story. There are so many people who have done so many fabulous things in this town. It's just it's good to hear about them. And that's one thing I'm looking to do as I book the show here for what's coming up. If anybody has any of those kind of things, we'd be glad to hear them. You can put a notice on the History Radio Show.
Yeah.
Great.
We're looking for
call.
Good stuff.
Shelley's always looking to talk to people.
That's right.
Call Shelley.
At 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
It's not a break.
No, but they can
the
call
number.
Us at
no, Sergio got all excited.
He oh,
gonna,
I'm sorry.
He was going to hit some buttons in there. Oh, look at it. They're talking. No, but the thing is, I mean, that's just it. We have a lot of topics, and we do some of them over again because we want to make sure you know what the MacGoffin Home is.
Yeah.
We're going to do that once a year no matter what. And, again, we had them last week on the radio, but the superintendent and one of the major workers down there.
She has a title.
Michelle.
Yes.
And so, but the two of them, we talked about Freemasonry, that he was a part of, et cetera. But this week on TV, coming up on Wednesday night, 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., you will see Bernie Sargent in his stovepipe hat. Or what is that thing?
It's a stovepipe.
Stovepipe hat.
Yeah.
And I just thought it made sense because in the video, there you are wandering around with Laura Bush as you were playing it. You and Melissa were 1890s townspeople.
Yes.
And so that made sense to put all that
together. We were giving a tour.
But that's Wednesday night, and those are going to be, I don't know if they'll do it every Wednesday, but they'll do it once a week for like the next 4 weeks on ABC7. Mm-hmm. So take a look at that coming up on Wednesday evening. And the thing about El Paso history, there's just so much of it. The videos that we've done, I never got around so far, I don't think I will, to doing every video I wanted to do. I haven't done the Mission Trail, the big one. I've done some smaller Mission Trail videos. But we did do Gunfighters of the Old West.
That was one of the early ones.
The Legends of the Mountains. So there's a lot of stuff you can learn by looking at these videos. If you want to go see what we've done for free on the free side of life at El Paso History TV, we put those on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So you go to YouTube.com, El Paso History TV, and Bernie's, you're starting to show up like crazy. You're all over the place. But the whole point.
Post office.
Yeah. Well, post office. But the whole point is to explain El Paso to people. All right, other thoughts on your world, Bernie? What else do you have that we should know about from A to Z? Because you've got a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there. Let me touch briefly on the El Paso Museum of History. Another board that I'm on, we're working on some things right now that are coming up. We're going to be doing the Circle of Giants, which will be the Chamber of Commerce birthday. That'll be coming up in October.
And they are the subject.
They are the subject of the next one. And then also this summer we're going to have baseball in El Paso, and that's going to be kicked off when they have the All-Star game for the Pacific League here in El Paso. So that'll be a fun event to attend and to see some of the history of baseball. And they've got some other things that are opening up there. Vladimir has done a great job in really making things turn around there. He's got a big staff now. And if you're on Facebook, you'll see an awful lot of advertisements, social media, that's outreach that they're doing. And they're looking to hire some more people.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. So he's really turning it around. We're really excited about it. And I know the foundation's working hard to raise the funds. I mentioned the Hilton grand opening. When the Paso del Norte opens up, we're going to do the same thing over there. So we'll just keep this momentum going, and this will be a huge benefit for the city of El Paso, the county of El Paso, for what we've tried to do, Jackson, Melissa, and me, in trying to emulate and raise the awareness of the history of El Paso.
Now, don't they have some new exhibits down there right now?
Actually, what they're doing is they're moving the one that was upstairs, which is old El Paso, so to speak. They're moving it downstairs. Because a lot of folks that go in there, they walk the first floor and then they leave. They don't know there's a second floor.
Oh.
So we want to attract the people to see the history of El Paso on the first floor. And then they'll be closing up the Federal Reserve the end of next month and replacing
that. That's the Wall of Giants exhibit right now.
That's the Wall of Giants, yeah. That'll be closing up the end of next month, and we'll be bringing another exhibit in, which will ultimately be the Chamber of Commerce. Their 100-plus birthday. Yeah. Initially, we thought it was 100, but no, it's 100-plus. I think they were started in 1901, 1902.
Well, the thing about the museum down there, maybe they should put the entrance door on the second floor. I don't know. Yeah. How do you do that?
Well, he's changed the entrance quite a bit. He's doing a lot with the store, so it's a little bit easier and more welcoming than it has been. And he's opening up the entrance so you can see where there's signs going upstairs. The train that they had upstairs is being moved downstairs. So
train?
Yeah, they had a locomotive. The kids could get in there and pretend they're driving it. Yeah, that's downstairs right by the stairs.
You try to tell them. They could open up the opening to that second floor and have a visual up there that they could actually see a second floor up there.
You could do something like that, yeah.
Kind of bizarre.
We've talked also about moving the entrance door to the south side of the building facing the Cleveland Park so that people will see that when they're across the street at the Children's Museum that'll be coming online, the Art Museum that's down there, all those things. They'll be able to see it. So we'll see how that thing pans out.
As long as he can manufacture some more parking, then he'll be a hero. But yeah. So far, he's real.
They're looking to tear buildings down and make a lot more parking. Hey, well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they got the one that they're building next to the Hilton, the plaza, that they're putting. It's actually going to be on both sides of San Antonio Street.
How many parking spaces?
600.
That's 600. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that'll help. But I got to tell you, I mean, the ABC 7 Extra tomorrow night is going to be interesting because they're looking for parking spaces, and they got more parkers than places.
Well, I think that one of the situations we have to address is, you know, when they're going to have the Children's Museum there, we're going to have the Mexican-American Culture Center right there in that little area. A lot of these folks, $10 to park is a lot of money. And, you know, there's not enough parking meters. So even, like $4 or $2 at a parking meter, if you can find one, it's difficult at best.
And if you have now you can do it electronically. But
yeah, you can do it. But a lot of these folks don't have the cards to electronically do it and so on. We're blessed that we can do that. But some of these people aren't.
Yeah, different world. All right.
Yeah.
Taking a break. The phones are ringing again. Let's talk to them after the break here. 544-whatever.
5876 or 544-KTSM.
Looking to buy a car? Online shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for the car you want and see what other people paid for it too. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience.
When I had my brother take me places, it was always like, we have to get there early so I can smoke a cigarette before we go inside. I'm in pain. I'm a little sister.
We always have to stop for cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. Get up first thing, smoke a cigarette. Before lunch, after lunch, another one on the way home, before dinner, after dinner. Now that I'm talking about it, I'm kind of feeling like I've lost about 4 hours of every day.
I didn't realize it was that much.
Yeah, I know. I decided I needed to find an alternative. So I started looking, and then Juul came up. I did both for a while. Eventually, I just switched over, and it's very quick. I honestly feel like I remember recently you asking me, like, did you want to smoke before we go in? And I was like, no, I don't need to.
Mimi made the switch July 2015. Make the switch at Juul.com. That's JUUL.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Ever wonder why Europeans seem to speak so many languages? Maybe it's because they use Babbel, the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Babbel's award-winning technology gets you speaking right away, whether you're learning Spanish, French, or German. And best of all, you'll remember what you've learned.
I always thought I was bad at languages, but after using Babbel, I can tell you I was just taught the wrong way.
Using Babbel's 10 to 15 minute lessons, you can be speaking confidently in your new language within weeks.
I was amazed that I could start having real life conversations right away. It was so fast. Now I'm speaking Spanish. Woohoo!
No wonder Babbel is the number one selling language learning app in Europe. Try it for yourself and see why Babbel is the quick way to get conversational in a new language, like Spanish, French, or more. You can try Babbel for free. Go to Babbel.com or download the app and try it for free. That's Babbel, Babbel.com, or download the app to try it for free. That's Babbel.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got Brad on hold here. Talk to him in just a second. But there's a lot of things that are happening today, specifically the Hot Red Box Super Bowl special.
Yes.
Yes. That's history in the making right there. And that's out at Pepe's today. You can get this for $34.95. And it cost, I think he was over $50 if you had to buy all this stuff independently. But he's got a bunch of stuff ready to go. If you go out, call him up. Bernie, do you have that number handy? Where's that phone number? We have to find out what their phone number is.
877-2152.
Say that again.
877-2152.
Call up Pepe. And if you want to get the pants of the family, call up Lorena.
There you go.
Whoa.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
The one that will sell you the red
brains
box,
of that
red box Super Bowl special to get a hold of them. All right, and what do you got?
Well, I'm going to take my turkey with me today. If you head out to the Archaeology Museum, they've got a special program today, and it's free at 2 p.m. Membres, Turkey Domestication and Iconography. Iconography. There
just
you go. Whatever. And it's by Sean Dolan. He's a PhD. And it's on animal and plant domestication and how it transformed relationships between people and their environments in the Members Valley of southwestern New Mexico.
They were big on turkeys.
I know. Bring your pet turkey. Learn how he's domesticated. And while you're there with your pet turkey, check out this exhibit that they've got going on through April 20th. It's Astronomy and the Mesoamerican Cosmos. And like ancient peoples of the old world, the inhabitants of the new world placed a high importance on movement of the heavens throughout the year. And this is the Astronomy and the Mesoamerican Cosmos is a look at the cosmos, constellations, and mythology from the I'm having trouble saying
this. This is an exhibit,
I know, yes. Mesoamerican perspective. So get out to the museum and take a look at it.
That's archaeology.
Yes, over there on Trans Mountain.
And the lecture at 2 today.
Yeah, lectures. So you get two wonderful programs.
All right, we start up Brad. Brad's on the phone. Hey, Brad, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Yeah, I know you're running out of time. I'll just tell you real quick. I just caught the last hour of your show, a little bit of Ponce Villa history. I used to work in Deming in the courthouse over there. And on the third floor is the courtroom that the Villistas were tried in, because they caught about 17 or 18 of the young riders that rode with Pancho Villa.
On the Columbus Raid?
Yes. Okay. And it's still in the original condition. It was actually used as a court, district court, until just about 6 or 7 years ago.
What building is this? What building?
The old courthouse in Deming. It's on the third floor. The old wooden seats. And I really tried to encourage them to keep it original, and the only thing they did is put a drop ceiling in it. That's the only thing different.
Oh, wow.
But even the bench, the judge's bench, said Territory of New Mexico, and I think they took that out when they built the new courthouse. But it's just interesting, and you can walk down the hallways and see pictures of the gallows that the Villistas were hung on.
Really?
And, yeah.
Is
and
this open to the public right now?
Well, I think anybody can go to the courthouse and just, you know, walk. Go to the office and say, I want to walk through and look at the pictures, or say, tell them you're going to go to the assessor's office and pay your taxes or something. Or
hey, Deming, you got a tourist attraction you need to work on here, Deming. Very
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. And they don't understand that. I tried to convince them for years to make something out of that.
Well, now you have been through their museum there. That's a fabulous museum they have in Deming.
Yeah. And my ancestors moved to Deming in 1910, so I spent a lot of time over there.
Well, okay, this courthouse thing, we'll have to work on that. Brad, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Brad.
Take care, Brad.
And it's an interesting thing. There's history all over the place.
Oh, my gosh.
And Deming is full of stuff. And
Southern New Mexico, Mexico. It's incredible.
All right. The Pepe special, we told you about that. And also the Super Bowl special he's got going on out there. And what was the Pepe special today, Bernie Sargent?
That was the chili, the beef chili.
Okay, that's what you got there. And I'm going to make it out there. I don't know about you guys, but there will be hopefully a group of people out of Pepe's this afternoon talking history and eating stuff. Because this is good out there.
It is.
In the meantime, EPHistory.com for anybody who wants to take a look at what we got going on for the videos, for the podcasts that we I do eventually get them on there. It just takes me a while sometimes.
Yeah, I think that when the show's going in the future, we'll talk about street naming, where the street names came from.
Whoa, is ever there everywhere. That'd be kind of fun indeed. And so we have 1 minute here, Bernie. You got one more quick story?
Yeah, I'd like to invite everybody, if you have not heard about the Texas Historical Foundation, go online to the Texas Historical Foundation website. It's a minimal amount to join the organization. We want to show Texas that El Paso really cares about the state, because they do, you know, everything, like we said earlier in the show, everything west of the I-35, they seem to think it's just obscure and there's nothing out there. And we're trying to educate them that we got a heck of a lot of history here, like Jackson says. History begins in El Paso.
And it'll help us get grants out here, too.
It'll help us get a lot of grants out here.
But listen, next week we do this again.
Next week.
We got Mimi coming
in
here.
I'll hobble
in. She's going to be kind of fun. Bernie, see you in the streets here. And see you on ABC7 Wednesday night at 6 and 10.
You bet.
That'll be Bernie Sargent there. Everybody else, see you next week.
Hasta semana.
Checkio, thank you for in the control room.
And Shelly.
Thank you. Hey, bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.